Okay, so we're at coming to the bottom of Beis Amid Beis 2b, and let's take a look at the issues we've discussed so far. And the last issue we've discussed, the four words Ha'isha Niknis V'Shalosh Drachim. A woman is acquired in three ways. So we've already explained, this has been the issue so far, looking right at the top here. Why does the Mishnah use the terminology of acquired and not betrothal? Miskadeshes. So we're basically using the biblical terminology, the way the Torah refers to it, and later on only does it use the rabbinic expression in the next chapter. The second question, why did our Tana say a woman is acquired as opposed to a man acquires? We gave two answers to that, because we said, number one, the Seifa, the second half of the Mishnah, only applies to how a woman gains her independence and not how a man gives her independence, because one of them is he dies. And also, a man, if we would say a man acquires, we think he could do it against her will, and we don't want to make that mistake. Then we discussed, why does the Mishnah say Shalosh and not Shalosha? And we basically said, because the words Shalosh and Shalosha, because of the word drachim. And drachim, we concluded, could be male or female, depending on the situation. And since we're dealing with a female acquiring herself, the word derech will be understood as the female terminology, and therefore the word shalosh has to be female to match drachim, which answered the fourth question. Why is Mr. say shalosh due to drachim? Then that became the fourth question. Why did it say shalosh? Because a drach of the mission should say dvarim, should say dvarim, which is masculine, and then change the shalosh to shlosha. And we said that bia was a derech. Bia is a way. And even the other two items, which are not ways, but they help us to the way of bia. And that was the last point. And then finally gave the idea of it being like Reb Shimon, who says that marriage in general is called a derech. And it's the way of a man to take a woman. And therefore we're using the word derech. So we understand now why we've used derech and not dovor. Okay? And we understand why it had to say sheva. And everything seems to be fine. All right, but now there's one last question on this topic, and this one last question is going to turn things upside down, as always, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're okay. We understand why it said drachim, why we didn't say dvarim. Okay, because we had to call it a derech. We had to call it a derech. So now the Gemara now, let's see what the question is going to build up to. According to this latter answer, the Tana uses the word drachim in relation to kiddushin, because the way of human nature is relevant to the process of kiddushin. That's why we use the word derech. It's a way. Marriage is a way. And therefore we didn't use the word dvarim. That was the issue. You could describe a number of items as drachim, ways, or dvarim, or things. So we asked, why didn't we call the three ways she acquires her things? Because marriage is a way. It's a way based on the two answers. Either way, Shimon says it's the way of a man to conquer the woman, to go after the woman, to pursue the woman. Or Bia is a way, and the other two methods lead to the way. So we're using the word drachim to describe something that is actually a way of human nature, and otherwise we would use dvarim. So now we're going to see a Mishnah that seems to, the one we dealt with already, we're going to come back and ask a question on that. Let's go back to that Mishnah that said the following. B'zayin drachim bodkim esazav. There's seven ways in which we check esav. Remember we talked about the man who has the flow, there's seven ways to check it. Okay, well the question we're going to ask is, well based on what you said before, Lisni dvarim. It should say dvarim. Dvarim, good English word here, matters. Let the Tana teach dvarim, which literally means matters, instead of drachim. For what way of things is alluded to by the use of derech here? You understand? When we define it, when listing a number of items, the things are either called dvarim, matters, or drachim, or ways. Right? So our Mishnah said, well, we have to use drachim because it's a way. Marriage is a way. Fine. But the point over here, now let's go back to that Mishnah. There's seven drachim, seven ways for the man to check himself if it was an external cause for him to have an emission. But that's not a way. It really should be a matter. It's, you know, did he eat too much? Did he this, did that? We should call it dvarim. And again, the point being, notes don't mention here, because the normal way for the Mishnayos to normally list things is with the word dvarim and not drachim. Usually we call things matters and not ways. So, you know, the default position, we see there's a number of default positions in Mishnayos. First default position is we use things in the masculine term and not the feminine, unless there's an overwhelming reason. The second idea you see here is we usually, the default position is the word dvarim, matters, and not drachim. So by a woman, we saw why we had to say drachim, ways, because marriage is a way. But over here, when the man checks himself, why don't we say dvarim over here? Why don't we call it matters? What way of drachim. Things? Why do we call it drachim, right? Yeah. So lisni dvarim, let's say dvarim, that it's matters. More answers. Hasam hakamash malon. The Mishnah wants to teach us an insight by the male zav, and they're using the word drachim to teach us. No, there is a way as well over there. And what's the way? Didarcha demichli yaser lasula de zava, because it's the way of excessive eating that brings one to a ziva, a flow. Right? It is a way. In other words, you don't get a ziva flow unless there's a way of life that made that happen, and that's excessive eating. Or vidarka lemishtoy yaser lasude ziva. Or excessive drinking brings one to ziva. So it's appropriate to use the word derech for there as well. It's not just a matter, it's a way. It's a way of a man having emissions beyond his control. It's the way of eating a lot brings you to that kind of emissions. So a way is also fine. Okay, so now we come now to the next one, and this becomes the problem area here. Okay, so now we're going to come one more time. A new mission we haven't learned yet, and it's going to use the word drachim ways, when based on everything we said, we should be using the word dvarim. Let's see, keep going over here. We're going to talk about an esrog now. Now, there are different agricultural laws for produce that is grown in the land of Israel. And there are distinctions between produce that come from trees and produce that grow straight to the ground like vegetables. In other words, there's a difference between fruits and vegetables in the laws of the Torah agricultural laws. Now, the Mishnah here is going to say an esrog, what are we going to compare an esrog to? We're going to compare its laws more to fruits from trees or vegetables that grow from the ground. That's going to be the discussion over here. And we'll see that an esrog is like trees in certain ways and like vegetables in other ways. Okay? So we're going to see what it is. Again, don't get too bogged down in the details of the agricultural laws as to more the use of the word drachim or divarim, ways or matters. So let's see what the Mishnah says. We learned in the Mishnah that says, Esrog shava le'ilon begimel drachim. An esrog is similar to a tree in three ways. Okay, this is a Mishnah in Bikurim. Okay, so let's see what the Mishnah, the Gemara is not going to say what it is. So let's look at the commentary here. The esrog fruit is treated like the fruit of a tree with regard to the laws of Orla, Revai, and Shaviz. I'll explain all of them. Okay. Like a tree, the first 3 years of Esrog fruit is prohibited for use under the Orla restriction. We have a law in the Torah that if you plant a tree, for the first 3 years, you may not enjoy the fruits at all. You can't eat them. Mamash, you can't eat them. And that's a tree. That's in contradistinction to vegetation. You plant tomatoes, those aren't trees. You plant tomatoes this year, you eat them this year. That's a clear distinction between trees and vegetation. Trees, you gotta wait 3 years, that's called orla. Vegetation, you can eat it right away. So now, an esrog, what are we going to compare it to? So in that way, for the law of Orla, we compare an esrog to a tree, that you can't eat esrogim for the first 3 years. That's number one. Now, the next law is ribai, going back to the trees. The fruit of the fourth year of a tree attains the status of ribai. Ribai comes from the word four, and it must be eaten, must either be eaten by its owners within the walls of Jerusalem, or redeemed with the proceeds then taken to Jerusalem to spend on food eaten there. So any fruit that grows out of a tree, in year number four, you may eat it, but only in Jerusalem, or you redeem it and take the money to Jerusalem. That too is only a law by trees, and not a law by vegetation. So an esrog is like it in that second way now. Finally, like the fruit of trees, esrog fruit that emerges during the sabbatical year. Now there's a whole law, you know, you're not allowed to benefit from your crops in the sabbatical year. You're not allowed to plant them, harvest, you're not allowed to do anything. But what if stuff grows by itself? So now the question is going to be, you know, what's the point of growth that it's considered it grew in the sabbatical year or it grew before the sabbatical year? Okay, and right now we're not going to get into the details of that. But however, there are certain laws that vegetation, that trees have one law regarding growth of the sabbatical year, and vegetation has a different law. So he's going to say that regarding the sabbatical year, the esrog again is like the tree. And look what it says, it is subject to the restriction sheets regardless of when this fruit was actually picked. In other words, let's say the fruit doesn't get picked till after Shemitah. But if it grew to a certain point, blossoming during Shemitah, it already is considered a Shemitah item. So it doesn't matter when it got picked. It has the restrictions. Any, it was growing during Shemitah year. It's just like a tree. So there's three ways that the esrog is like a tree. Okay. So Gemara asks a simple question. Lisni dvarim. Why don't we use the word dvarim instead of drachim? There's no way of the world over here. It's not a way. It's not like there's a way to acquire a woman. There's a way for a person to have an emission. There's no way over here. This is the laws. You know, it goes 3 years you can't eat it, fourth year in Jerusalem, and when the fruit is picked. There's no way over there. Why don't we use the word dvarim? Okay, that's the question. The answer is mishum deba'inan misni seifa, because we have a similar word dvarim in the seifa, in the second half of the Mishnah. Since the second half of the Mishnah says drachim, therefore we have to use drachim in the first half. Because what does it say in the second half, the second part of the Mishnah? It says an esrog is like a tree in three drachim, and then it concludes, uliyerek and to vegetable, oops, I skipped. In the safe where it says, uliyerek bederech echad, and it's comparable to vegetation in one way, and it uses the word way in the Seifa. Since it uses way in the Seifa, it has to use way in the Reisha to keep it similar. Okay. Now what's the one way that it's like a vegetable? So let's see over here. How is it considered to a vegetable? The Mishnah refers to the fact that an esrog is tithe. Now we're talking about a fourth inyan of Meiser. That's a fourth agricultural law. We've discussed Truma, and we discussed Orla, first 3 years. Neta Revoy, the fourth year. We discussed Shemitah. And now regarding Meiser, giving a tenth. And there's a rotation of years. Okay, again, we want to determine exactly which year, which agricultural fiscal year does it go in. As we'll see. Let's take a look. Produce is typed according to a 7-year rotation. In the first and second years of the 7 years of rotation, Meiser Rishon, given to the lady, and Meiser Sheni, to be eaten by its owners in Jerusalem, were redeemed, but the proceeds spent on the food there are separated from produce. Okay, again, first 2 years of the 7 year cycle, well, truly every year in the 6 or 7 years, the first tenth to give to the lady. That's always the same. Right. Question is, what do we do with that second tenth? So in years 1 and 2, we have to redeem them or take them to Jerusalem. So they're ours. They belong to us. But I have to take it to Jerusalem.
to redeem it.
In the third year, it's a little different. Maaser Rishon was still tied. We give the Levite the first tenth, but Maaser Ani replaces Maaser Shein's latter tithe. So now the second tenth in the third year has to go to the poor. So you don't get it at all. That's in year three. So there's a big difference in year one and two versus three. In year one and two, you're getting an extra 10%. In year three, you're losing that 10%. So now the question is, it's very important, what point is this agriculture considered to which year? How far does it grow at a certain point where if it grows to a certain point in year two, it belongs to you, as opposed to it grows a little more in year three, it goes to the poor man. It's going to be a huge 10% of your crop difference. We have to know when is the produce considered actionable. In which year is it going to be part of? So when you're making money, right? We have two different products. You got an accrual method. I forgot the other method. There's two methods of how you catch much money. You pay taxes. How much profit did you make? Yeah, what's accrual? What's the other one called?
Profit.
Now there's another name for it. Not a fancy name for it. But in other words, when you're checking guys' books, the guy will say, I didn't make any money this year. He says, what are you talking about? You may not have made it yet, but this guy owes you $500,000 on something you sold him in the other year.
But when you don't use the accrual method,
yeah,
it's just considered cash.
Okay, cash. Okay, fine. But I think in accounting, you do either way, but you got to be consistent.
Yeah.
But some people want to have it both ways. One year do accrual, the next year do cash. So I didn't make any money now. But the guy goes, you know, when you get the money next, you say, well, that was from the year before.
Yeah.
Right. So, but the question is, well, when do you pay the tax? So it depends on the method. Same thing here. We have to pay tax on the produce. Well, when is the produce considered produce that you have to give it? At what point of the growth is it considered for year two or year three? That's going to be a big difference. Right. Now this cycle repeats itself in the fourth, fifth, and sixth years of the rotation. Same way. The seventh year is sheaves, the sabbatical year, in which no tithes are separated. Fine. So now it's very important for us to determine, mostly important for what, and even more than that, even for between year one and two, how much you schlep in year one, how much you schlep in year two. It may all belong to you, but how much you have to take to Yerushalayim in year one, how much you have to take to Yerushalayim in year two. Maybe you like have a little more balance. Could be one year was a bumper crop, you got so much to schlep. And the other year not. So those are all issues. Anyway, what's the point? The conclusion of the Mishnah states that the esrog shares one legal property with a vegetable. In other words, even though the esrog is like a tree in three ways, it's like a vegetable in one way. Its fruit is tithed according to the date it was picked, just as vegetables are. Now, vegetables are determined, when did you pick it off the ground? That's the year it goes to. So it could be like an accrual, right? It could be the whole thing is ready to go. The guy said, wait a minute, you know, and the new year is tomorrow. And normally you would have picked it. I'm not going to pick it today. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till we go into the next year. Or let's say from year three into year four. Let's say you got tons of crops that are ready to be harvested. And it's going to be year three. Now if it's going to be harvested, it means 10% goes to the poor man. Mm-hmm. Guys, wait a minute. I'll wait a few days till the new year passes, and then I'll wait till now it's year four that the stuff goes to Jerusalem, to me, not them, and I'll wait to pick it then. You understand what's going on here? So vegetables works that way. Vegetables works that way, but not trees. Okay? Just as it is not tied like other trees, according to the blossom. See, trees, you calculate the tithing by the blossoms. Once, now, it's a long way from being ready. Blossoms come before the actual fruit comes out. Once the tree blossoms, we say whatever fruit comes goes to that year of the blossoming. All right? Vegetables, no. Since they don't blossom, the only way they could figure a half growth, third growth. No, not until you pick it. So that's so how does an esrog? So an esrog, esrog fruit is picked. Hence, if esrog fruit is picked in the third year, then regardless when the fruit first blossomed, it's subject to Maaser Ani, give it to the poor man.
Why esrog?
Well, the why isn't important. What's important now is the distinctions that we're making. We say
all fruits are blossom except for estrogen.
We say again, there's a difference between fruits and vegetables. When fruits blossom, that's when they're obliged. It goes to that calendar year. When vegetables are picked, it goes to the year that it's picked. The esrog goes according to the vegetation, regardless when it blossoms. It's only when you pick the esrog. So in that way, the esrog is like a vegetable. So the esrog is like a tree in three ways. That again, the tree has the laws of orla. You can't use in the first 3 years. While vegetables, that's not so. So the esrog is like it in that way. The fourth year of a tree, you have to take it to Jerusalem. But there's no idea of a fourth year of vegetables that takes Jerusalem. And an esrog is like that. And regarding certain Shemitah laws, of when we consider the growth long, big enough to be included in the year where it grew, the esrog is like the tree, and it's not like the vegetables. However, regarding the misers, the tithes, we say that the esrog is like the vegetables. So it's like an esrog, it's like a tree in three ways, it's like a vegetable in one way. So again, well, let's get back. Let's not lose focus of what the original subject was.
The bracha is
high eights. Yeah, the bracha is high eights for sure. Yeah. But for whatever reason, we'll see. It's treated regarding meiser. It's treated like a vegetable. It's treated like a vegetable. It has the stat. It's treated like a vegetable. Now, what was our question? The Mishnah said an esrog is like a tree in three ways. Why don't we say divarim in three matters? Because it's really not a path. There's no path. There's no pathway here. Well, so you know what? Because the Sefer says, and it's like a vegetable in one way. So since the Sefer said way, the Reish has to say way. So what's going to be the obvious question of the Gemara now? So why does the Sefer use the word derech? So just because the Sefer used the word derech, the Sefer should have used the word davar also. Gemara asks, Sefer nami nisni davar. Well, I don't understand. Let the final clause say the word davar. For if the word derech does not reflect a certain way of the world in either clause, then both clauses can be stated without using this term. So you're asking, what are you talking about? So it said drachim in the first part because it says derech in the last part. It shouldn't say derech in the last part either. There's no way of the world. Again, marriage is a way of the world. Getting discharged is the way of a person. But here there's no way of the world over. It's just a straight law. Do we treat it like this? Do we treat it like this? What's the way of the world? And now we have to turn to the next page. Gimel Amud Aleph. Mor's going to answer it. No, there is a way. There is a way. Gimel answers, no, there is a way. Hossam over there in the final clause that says that the esrog is like the vegetable, there is a concept of a way. There is a concept of a way of the world. And that because it's a way of the world, that's why it uses derech in the seifa. And once I'm using derech in the seifa, then I have to be consistent, use drachim in the resha. Now, what is the way of the world with an esrog? And obviously it's going to be this way of the world that now makes the esrog like a vegetable as opposed to a tree. There's got to be something unique that the esrog shares with the vegetable that's different than trees. See, although an esrog really is a tree, there's no question it's a tree, but there has to be something unique about the nature of the tree of the esrog that's different from others. And that's what we have to see, because and we know that, we just know that anyway, because the Torah singles out the esrog from every other fruit. Because the Torah calls it a pre-Eitz Hador, beautiful fruit. For Sukkos, it says you take the lulav and esrog. What do they call it? They call the esrog. You take a pre-Eitz Hador, a beautiful fruit. No other fruit is called beautiful. And the Gemara gives three reasons why it's called beautiful. But you already see there's something unique about the esrog. You want to go from a mystical point of view. We know that when God told the fruit trees to bear trees giving off fruit, remember, Hashem originally wanted even the tree itself to taste like the taste of the fruit. All the trees went against God's command. And that's why bark does not taste like fruit, except for one exception. The esrog listened to God. Okay, I don't know if it's true today, but supposedly the bark tastes a little bit more like the esrog. Anyway, you see that an esrog, although it really is a tree, you cannot tell me it's not a tree, but it's a little bit different than all the other trees of the world. That's where you can already see it's like a vegetable in one way. But now we're going to show you, I guess from an agricultural point of view, there is a way over here that the esrog will be like the vegetable to make it like a vegetable in this one case. Now what is this? Now, here's the way of the world we're going to talk about. And the way depends on how much irrigation do trees need versus how much irrigation do vegetables need. Okay, how much water do they need to grow properly? And which one is the esrog like? And this way of the world of irrigation is the way that the Mishnah is talking about. There's a way. There's a way of the world and the way that fruits and vegetables grow due to irrigation. And that's the way we're going to talk about. Now we're going to see. Diderecheha de esrog keyerek. The way of growth. That's a way. The way of growth of the esrog is similar to the way of growth of a vegetable. And that's why the tithing is like vegetable. Why? What is this? Ma yerek. What do we know about a regular vegetable? Darko ligadol al kol mayim. A vegetable is ways to grow upon all types of water. In other words, vegetables, it's not enough for it to get its sustenance from rain. It needs man-made irrigation. Extra irrigation. If the vegetables are going to rely on the rain, especially in Israel now, we're not talking about the tropics. In Israel, where there's very little rain, it needs more. The way of vegetables, it needs beyond rainfall, it needs man-made irrigation. That's the way of that. As opposed to, I imagine, trees, we don't irrigate trees. Trees, because of all their roots, are able to live with less rain. So that's a fundamental difference in the way of a tree and the way of a vegetable. Okay? And therefore, since the way, in other words, so who needs more water? Vegetables. So therefore, we have to wait longer into the season for more irrigation to take place. Remember, what did we say? The tithing of the vegetables when you pick them. That's much later than blossoming of a tree. So why do we wait longer for the vegetables? Because the vegetables need more rain to grow better. More water to grow better. A tree, it's got deep roots. It's enough with the rain. Now remember, the rainy season is in the beginning of the year. Remember, we start planting in the fall. The rain, it rains in a good year. It's raining November, December, January. Stop.
That's it. Yeah.
And now from January, February, that's it. No rain for the next 6 months. And you may be harvesting in the summer. So the rainfall irrigation is in the beginning of the year. So for a tree that doesn't need more, then once it blossoms, it's good enough. It has enough rain. But the vegetation, the rainfall's not enough. So now what do you got? You need more rain and more rain and more rain. Not more rain, but rather more irrigation. And then later on in the year, you pick it because the latter irrigation helped it develop more. And at least for Meiser, not for Shemitah, but for Meiser to determine how much has it grown to the point where it's eatable and pickable, whatever. So the tree is earlier and the vegetation is later. This is a way. This is not just a matter. This is a way of life for vegetables versus trees. So that's the vegetable. So the vegetable needs extra rain. And therefore, the law is, for the vegetable, ubishas lekitaso, therefore only when it is picked, ishura, do we decide the tithing, because it takes longer. So now we're going to say that the esrog is different than other trees in this way, and it's more like vegetables in this way. Af esrog, simon esrog, darko ligodol al komayim. The esrog's way is to grow upon all types of water. In other words, it needs irrigation as well. The esrog tree needs to be irrigated versus other trees. Okay. And therefore, uvishas lekitaso ishuro. And therefore, the time of picking, only then do we consider needing to give the tenth. So therefore, it uses the word derech in the seifa, because there is a way. Because in other words, the law changes to make the esrog not completely like other trees, But this fourth law, it's like a vegetable, because the way, because of the way of the esrog, is like the way of the vegetation. That's why the law is like a vegetable in this one case. That's why we use way in the seifa. So once we use it in the second half, we have to be consistent and use the word way in the beginning. Okay. I'm not going to go through all this. It's going to make us crazy enough. Okay, so we had a question. We answered it. So still, we're still okay now. So we've given three Mishnais that have used the word drachim, ways, instead of the classical default position of dvarim. And why? Because they all are a way. They're a way of life. A woman is a way of life of marrying a woman. That's a way of marrying a woman. There's a way of a man to have emissions come out of himself. And there's a way that the esrog tree grows similar to the vegetable. So that's all fine. So now what's the Gemara going to do? Now says, well, I'm going to give you other Mishnayos that still use the word drachim, and I don't see any ways over there. I don't see any ways. You know, the Gemara's relentless. We're going to pick every Mishnah until we can catch one where you use the word derech, and it isn't a way. It is not a way. And here comes the next one. V'ha'tanan, we learn in the Mishnah. Now we're going to see there's different types of animals in the world. There's domesticated animals. Those are called a behema. A behema is like a cow. Then there's undomesticated, we'll call wild animals that are also kosher, let's say, like a deer. A deer. A deer is kosher, but it's not a domesticated animal. You don't exactly have have deers in your corrals. Now, if you catch a deer and you shecht it, you could eat it. Venison, okay? We'll call it venison, right? They're both kosher. They have different laws. What's the most famous difference in the laws? After you shecht an animal, there's a mitzvah of the Torah to cover up its blood. That mitzvah only applies to one species of animal and not a different species of animal, as we'll see in a minute. Certain fats on animals, certain fats that are on kosher animals, have fats that are not, they have to be removed, they're not kosher, and other ones, you don't have to remove them. Other animals that don't. So there's differences between animals, we call them behemos, and chayos. Chayos are undomestic, or we'll call them beasts.
Wow.
Okay, so now, there's two different categories, and now we're going to find there's a third type of animal that's nishtahin and nishtahir. A little bit like one, a little bit another, and then we have to know what rules does that one go with? Does it go like a regular animal or not like a regular animal? And this is the story. The case is talking about the koi. There's an animal called a koi in Aramaic. Koi, yeshlo drachim shavalachaya, it has drachim, ways, that are similar to a wild animal. And then we're going to see in a minute, it has ways that are similar to a regular animal. So now let's take a look at these ways. In regarding to various laws, the Torah distinguishes between two categories of animals. Behema. Behema is domestic species. Cattle, sheep, goats. On the other hand, chaya are non-domestic species. Deer and antelope. The rabbis were unable to determine whether a koi, some identify this creature as a buffalo. Okay, the Ramah says it's a buffalo. Maybe, but not. But you can see where a buffalo, is it a domesticated animal? Is it a non-domesticated animal?
None.
Well, Gomorrah's, if you say this is the one, because buffalo is a lot like a bull, I guess, right? Like a cow bull. But again, in certain ways, I guess it's a little wilder.
Maybe it's a bison.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, we don't, maybe a bison. I don't know. But anyway, there is this animal called a koi. Is to be, now questions, do we classify it as a behemah or a chaya? Right? The Mishnah now says, well, you know what, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Now let's see the difference, looking for. The Torah requires one who slaughters a wild animal or fowl to cover the blood of the animal with earth. The myth of covering the blood after you shed the animal is only with fowl and chayas, wild animals. Okay, not domesticated animals. So you go to a regular schlachtois that chefs kosher meat, cows, and that, you will not cover the blood of a cow. You will cover the blood of a chicken.
Chicken, yeah.
Now, any other non-domesticated animals as well, you must cover them with, the blood has to be covered. So now the koi is in between. So what do we do with the koi? Do we make it cover the blood or not? Next thing, This requirement does not apply to animals classified as domesticated, namely cows, sheep, and goats, since it's uncertain whether a koi is to be classified as a chayav behema. What do we do? So we're strict. Its blood must be covered. Since we're not sure, we say got to cover it. Okay, so now, let's go on. So koi, yesh lo drachim shav l'chayav. There are ways that a koi is like an undomesticated animal that we're strict, you have to cover its blood. But the yesh bo drachim, but it has ways, shovel a behema. That's like a behema. Now, which way is it like a domesticated animal? Regarding chelev, the portions of an animal's fat that the Torah prohibits for consumption. There's certain parts of fat on animal you're not allowed to eat, and they have to be cut off before you eat it. These portions are prohibited only for animals classified as behema, domesticated, but not for those classified as chayav. So therefore, a cow, although you don't have to cover up its blood, you got to remove the not kosher fats. While wild animals and chickens, you have to cover its blood, but there are no prohibited fats. So now we're going to say that the koi is going to be like a behemoth regarding the fats. To be strict, you got to remove its fats.
Right.
So in other words, we're giving the strictnesses, a koi has, wherever the strictness is, that's where it's treated like. Since we're not sure, we have to go strict.
Yeah.
So if we're not sure if it's like an undomesticated animal, then we got to cover its blood. If we're not sure it's like a domesticated animal, we got to remove all the fats like a regular animal. So therefore, the koi is like in one way, like one and one way the other. Okay. The yesh bo drachim, it has ways also, shavu chavim, in ways that it's like both of them. In what way is a koi like both of them? The answer is, what do domestic and non-domestic animals have in common? One law they have in common. They have to be shechted. Right? They have to be slaughtered. So what do you say? Well, in distinction to a fish doesn't have to be slaughtered. So now the koi, it's like both of them regarding what? That has to be shechted. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. A koi has ways that it's like an animal, a domesticated, has ways like a non-domestic, and has ways that it's like both. And wait, one more, not done. There's some ways that it's not like any one of them. Well, what would that work? What do you mean? It's not like, how can it not like any of them? So look what it is. For a koi may not be crossbred with either type of animal. Now, crossbreeding. Now, cows can breed with cows. Right?
Yeah.
Domesticated can breed with domesticated.
Right.
Non-domesticated with non-domesticated. Can't crossbreed domesticated with non-domesticated. So now what's this koi like? Well, is koi like a behemoth, then it can crossbreed with behemoths. If it's like a chai, it can crossbreed with a chai. So if it's not like either one, it can't crossbreed with any of them.
With any of them?
Only with a koi.
Oh, okay, alright.
A koi only with a koi. That's it. It's not like a chai or an ol. No, it's like the others. For example, it's like all of them. It's got to be shechted. It's like a behema that you have to remove the fats. It's like a chaya that you got to cover the blood. But in a way, it's not like any of them. Well, you can't crossbreed with any of them. Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
So now the Gemara asks a simple question. Now, these are facts. So, nisnei dvarim, why did it say drachim? It should say dvarim. There's no way of the world over here. This is just determining what's the law. There's no way. So that's a question that will need an answer. And we'll stop right here with this question. There's going to be another couple of questions. And we will come to the conclusion of this sugya for sure tomorrow, Mirza Shem.